It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I am standing on the deck of the USS Raquin, the submarine that is parked on the banks of the Ohio River just outside the Carnegie Science Center, truly a destination for tourists and visitors to the Science Center. And we're excited because after undergoing a renovation, the submarine will be reopened to the public for tours starting tomorrow, Saturday, November 21st. Just for those of you who are not familiar with the Raquin, it was commissioned in April of 1945, right at the tail end of World War II in New Hampshire at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, and it's made its way to various parts of the country. The Raquin has gone to Virginia and to Florida, and in 1990 made its way to Pittsburgh, where it has been part of the scene here at the Carnegie Science Center ever since. Hundreds of thousands of people have toured this submarine. They have missed being able to do that for the last 2 months, but now it is set to open again. And here to tell us what exactly took place during the renovation is Maria Renzelli. She's the submarine coordinator for the Carnegie Science Center. That's about as cool a title as you can possibly have, right? Maria, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. And yes, it is. It's very cool.
So explain why this submarine has been closed to the public for 2.5 months now.
Well, the submarine is 311 feet long, so that is a lot of old paint to scale off, and they had to contain it all so it didn't go into the river. And then once they started from the back, they just went all the way forward, painted the entire submarine. We also redid the bridge, which is the pedestrian bridge to get onto the submarine. We put some brand new planks on there, so she's all shiny and new and ready for visitation.
It looks shiny and new with the fresh paint job here. We're standing, as I said, on the deck on a day that's not too terrible for being outside, but we're going to want to get down underneath and be in the part of the submarine that where the business of fighting a war back in 1945 really happened. So would you be interested in taking us on a tour? Because I have never been on this sub before.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to follow you. We're going to go down those stairs there. So we are now descending the staircase that is very narrow, so I'm being careful as I go down. This must be, is this like the galley area? Because I'm looking at cans of chili and all this Heinz stuff. What's happening in this part of the submarine, Maria?
Well, this is the forward torpedo compartment. This was the front of the ship. This was kind of the business end. There were originally 12 to 18 torpedoes stored in here. There are 6 launching tubes right in front of us.
These are the tubes. I was wondering what these were. Wow, look at that.
But as you walk through the submarine, you'll notice things stashed in little areas, beds in bizarre places. They would store food anywhere that they possibly could inside of the submarine. So it was not unusual at all to find cans of food, boxes of food, crates of food.
So it's not unusual to find food in the torpedo room.
No. It was actually preferable because the forward torpedo compartment was a good room to sleep in because it was far away from the engines. So it was quieter and it was cooler up here. So if they could stash some food up here for the torpedo men, they were more than happy to take on that duty for the chef.
So is this like World War II issue here?
The sub was in service from 1945 until 1968. Like you mentioned, she missed the war for 3 days. She went out on her first war patrol because they hadn't recalled all of the patrols yet until she finally got her call to come back. And she came back to the East Coast. They did a transfer. They made her into a radar picket submarine, which goes out and locates any aircrafts or any ships on the surface. Then they can sink down and hide after they communicate to the rest of the fleet what's coming up ahead of them. So what you're seeing in here is anywhere from 1945 through 1968, the way that the sub looked while you're inside.
As we make our way through the sub, you know, if I see a door, I'm going to be tempted to look inside. And sure enough, I'm stepping inside of a metallic box area. Is this... It looks like, oh, I see a shower head in here. Holy cow. Do people actually use this?
That is the shower. They did use it, but not very often. Fresh water was very difficult to make, so they would use most of it for cooling down their batteries and for cooking. So whenever there was anything left over and their storage tanks were filled up, they could take showers, and that was about once every 2 weeks. Usually the showers were used for food storage.
Here is, this looks like a sink and maybe a kitchen area as well?
This was called the pantry. It was for the officers when they would eat their meals. There's a separate room here that was the officers and the captain's dining room. They would usually eat in here. They ate the same food as the rest of the crew. It was just brought over here, prepped and served from that tiny kitchen.
I guess the rest of the crew wasn't sitting on leather seats. This is a nice little area.
Well, a lot of times the camaraderie on submarines was very close. And a lot of times the regular crew would come in here and chat and say hi. And more often the officers would go and eat with the crew in the main mess decks.
That's nice. That's nice to hear. So we're passing the officers' quarters, and what is down at the other end of this narrow hallway?
At the other end of the hallway, you'll see the captain's quarters on your left as you go through the hatch, and we will go into the control room.
All right, let's go.
This is the heart of the submarine. This is the control room. This is where you dive and surface. The main table here in the center is their gyrocompass. The wheels over on the wall would control how deep you go, and all of the levers that you see open and control the ballast and vent tanks.
So
here's a good audio.
Oh.
This is the dive alarm. You can pull it if you want to.
Oh, really?
Yep,
okay. Why would I pull the dive alarm?
There are klaxons throughout the submarine, and the very loud noise that you're going to hear when you pull it is a signal to everybody on board that they are about to dive, and everybody would have to start going through the diving process, closing hatches, shutting doors, closing vents, securing anything that could move.
And most importantly, just getting off the deck.
Exactly, yes. Up above us is the conning tower, and that's where the periscope is. Unfortunately, it wasn't until the late 60s that periscopes actually came down into the main body of the submarine. So they would have about 30 seconds to go from the very top of the sub down into this little room and down here.
So they had to go quick.
Very quick.
All right, I'm gonna do this. Do I push it forward?
You'll just kind of push it over to the right.
Okay, here goes nothing. How loud is this gonna be? I am now pushing the lever to let everybody know that we are going to dive. Wow. Think everybody got the message?
I think so, yes.
On the right here is the radio room, and look at all the different radios that are in here. Why do they need all this equipment, Maria?
This is how they would communicate to the surface if they needed to. When they were on shore, they would communicate ship to shore. All of the radio equipment in Raquin right now is fully operational, and we have local amateur ham operators come in, and they have talked to over, at last count, 188 countries and all 50 states.
Very nice. And there's also a picture of Betty Grable, which looks like it's autographed. It says, "Good luck, radio gang, USS Raquin, Betty." And it's got her lipstick. She kissed the piece of paper next to her photo. Okay, and now we're going through the kitchen area. This is this is where I see a stove and burners and a place where you could cook meat. And there's steaks and burgers and eggs all set up on that thing.
Absolutely, and you're standing on the refrigerator right now, if you look down.
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Toss me something up, will you guys?
Submarines were actually well known for their food. It was one of the perks for having to be on board a small tube for 75 days at a time. They could have anything from lobsters to hot dogs on board. Raquin was known for her cinnamon rolls. She was very famous in her fleet for the cinnamon rolls.
Very nice. Well, you need those perks. It's not a bad environment. There are seats like you would find in a diner, and there's checkerboards and backgammon boards painted onto the tabletops, and there's a board over there with pinups of Betty Grable and Rita Hayworth is there and others, so guys could eat and find their inspiration all at the same time.
Absolutely. This is where they would spend any of their free time that they had. This is actually the only place that they could spend their free time. They watched movies in here. They would put a sheet on this wall, and they could project movies onto the wall. There was a jukebox, so they had some music playing. They would play games in here. They would read in here. They would study.
And there's a projector.
Yes. Yes. They usually took about 3 movies out to sea, and they would watch those movies over and over and over again until they got close to another ship that they could trade with.
Wow, very cool. Hand off the movies and that you've already seen and pick up some new ones.
Yes, yes.
And looks like we're walking into the sleeping quarters here. This is there are beds that mattresses on chains being suspended from the wall, mattresses below them, and more below them. So there's like a three levels of beds here where people can sleep.
Yes, this is the main crew sleeping quarter. So this is where the enlisted men would sleep. We actually took a lot out so people can come in and look around the submarine. There were originally about 36 in here. They were stacked four high in some areas.
That's a lot of guys crammed into one space. But you better hope that somebody didn't snore or you were really in trouble.
Right. And everything was done on shifts. So while one crew was working, one crew was sleeping, and one crew either had free time or they did maintenance. So there was always somebody in here sleeping. Usually they shared bunks. One guy would wake up, another guy would hop in and go back to sleep. As soon as he was awake, another guy would hop in his bunk. So they called it hot bunking because the bunks never had time to cool down.
So from the sleeping area, where to?
We will pass the crew showers, and then we will go into the forward engine room.
Okay, we're going into the forward engine room, and look at the machinery in this room. It's really incredible.
Braquin had four 1,600 horsepower 10-piston diesel engines. So these are engines 1 and 2 in the forward compartment, and engines 3 and 4 are in the aft compartment.
And there's more in the next room there, straight ahead?
Yes.
It says here that the USS Raquin has four Fairbanks Morse diesel engines and four electric generators.
Yes, they were the same kind of engines that were used on railroad trains at the time when the sub was built. The generators are beneath the engines in the back. So there are two there that you can kind of see. They look like big barrels, and there were two in the other compartment as well.
And we are now in the maneuvering room, which gets its name because...
This is where they would control the speed of the submarine. The control room is where they would control back and forth, up and down. This is forward and back. So everything in here is related to transferring the power from the generators to the batteries. You would run on battery power when you were submerged.
What kind of communication did they have to have? I mean, they had to coordinate all of this. So what did they do? I see a phone here. Is that what they did?
Every compartment has, this is called a sound-powered phone. It's the same concept as a two tin cans on a string. So you could dial a different compartment. We have a list of the compartment numbers here. That's called a growler. And that same noise would come out of the other phone that you were trying to contact, and they could pick them up and talk to each other.
Very important. Got to have communication. We'll see, we've reached the end of the line here.
One more room,
okay.
This was originally the after torpedo compartment. There were four torpedo tubes out the back, and they could store 10 torpedoes in here. So it looked almost just like the first room you went into. In 1946, when they made the sub into a radar picket submarine, they removed all this equipment. And then by the time we got Raquin in 1990, everything had been removed from here. So we're just kind of making it into our little exhibit space.
It includes a lot of interesting artifacts, including an actual authentic USS Raquin uniform that a sailor would have worn on a day where he wasn't doing anything that was too dirty, because it's a white uniform and very interesting. I feel like it's right out of McHale's Navy. Except they were on a PT boat and this is a submarine.
That's what we like to do. We like to make people think the sailors just got up and walked out one day and left it to us.
We're looking at a picture of one of the uniform I just described belongs to a M.H. Tink Garlock, and there's a picture of him in the display of his uniform. He died on board the Raquin while serving his country September 21st, 1962. What happened to old Tink?
Unfortunately, he used too much of a degreasing component in a very small compartment beneath the deck, and he suffocated.
Oh, what a shame. What a tragedy. But you say his family still remembers him, and obviously this is something of value to the Garlock family.
Yes, his brother is still alive. He was actually from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. So he does still come and visit us. He calls all the time to say hello. Anytime he comes across anything that was Tink's, he donates it to us.
And why don't we head on up the stairs here? And now we're back up on the deck of the USS Raquin. And now we're back up on the deck of the USS Requin here on the banks of the Ohio River on a beautiful day. This was a great day for a tour, and I want to thank you, Maria, for taking me on this, my first tour of the USS Requin. Before I let you go, I have one last question for you, and that is, what does the word Requin mean? What is the USS Requin?
Requin is a French word for shark. There were several different ships and submarines during the in the early years of the Navy called the USS Shark. And of course, the shark is a pretty cool animal, so they wanted to keep naming them shark, but didn't want to keep using the same name. So they went through a string of different types of sharks, different languages, to keep the shark tradition going.
The public will be invited to tour the Requin. Once again, it will be open for visitors to the Carnegie Science Center starting tomorrow, November 21st. If you've never taken this tour, I highly recommend it. And thank you again for taking us on the tour and telling us all about the Requin, Maria Renzelli, Submarine Coordinator for the Carnegie Science Center.
Thank you for making us your first submarine.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of the program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website, WESA.FM. From the deck of the USS Requin, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying, have a great weekend, everybody.